Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 still says, be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Now, Kelly, who isn't here, she's the nice guy. Is she in here? I don't see her. She's probably in that nursery. Is she in that nursery? She's in the back. Okay. Well, let me just say this here. I'm the nice guy, really, but the other day, Casey was up there, and she said, Dad, why is this happening to me? And I told her, I said, you know, I would tell you right now, but you just start bawling your eyes out, and I need you to sing. Now, church, he that covers his sin will not prosper. And him that plays games with God, now, if God loves you, how many of you believe God loves you? Because it is written, I will chastise and correct every one of my children. And if they run away from it, the Bible says, I'm going to use a King James word here. If you will not receive God's correction, the Bible says, then are ye bastards. And what that means is, you just think you've got a relationship with God. But if you won't let God lead you, see, God, the word says this here. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and learn of me, because I'm easy to get. See, God's not going to play hardball with you. God will turn you over to what, if you just insist on going the wrong way. And then on judgment day, many will say, well, Lord, I did this, I did that. And it was a good thing. And the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. See, we never got to know God. And I swear to you, in my little old life, the first thing I did was set myself to know God. I was so strung out. I was so suicidal. I was so fearful. I was so hateful. I was so resentful that I had no choice but to get close to God. And I tasted of the Lord, and I saw that he was good. And God's good intentions are for you. Maybe God is only letting you hear this every once in a while from me, because maybe there's one person in this room or one person on air that will hear this. See, it just takes one moment. It just takes one time. My time came in the summer of 1971, and that time changed my life. And I'm still serving the Lord. And what I mean is I'm still walking with Jesus, and I don't have to. I want to. I desire to. I have found nobody is more fair, more kind. God goes beyond fairness to mercy. And I found him to be that way. And just a moment, we thank you that you come. And I always make sure you get out of here, that we only have a one-hour service. See, we don't need a one-hour and 15-minute service. We will stop this service on time. But God loves you. But he's not anybody's chump. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked by anybody. If you reap to the wind, you will, if you sow to the wind, you will reap the destruction of the wind. If you sow to God and to love, you will reap that. I have never seen anybody get away with anything so far in 70 years. Anybody that was inherently good, I've seen their blessings come in. And people that were inherently bad, I've seen judgment and stuff come on them. It wasn't judgment. It was just what you plant, them little seeds that you planted. Boy, I'll tell you what. God, this year, I planted some squash, and I planted them some seeds with the squash, and they're coming up, and I'm having a beautiful, and I have to water them and care for them just like they were puppies or babies. And I'm reaping what I sow. I've never seen anybody get, I honest to God, have never seen anybody get away with anything. And If a person takes God seriously, I've never seen God let that person or leave that person. Never let them suffer. I was hoping tonight, because I caught a part of the news that said there was about that 90% was turned on here, but there was still 10%. And did you tell me that your mom, Tommy, she got hers on? It's still not on. Stand up right now. Tell me what your mother's name again is. Carolyn. Father, we pray for Carolyn because she's a good person. We pray for her because she's Tommy's mother. And Lord, we just ask that tonight, before that sun comes up again, that Carolyn's power comes back on. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to get into a word that I believe will enlighten you and give you some things to think about and maybe make some choices. If you would turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and last time I remember preaching this, we were on the square. It was that many years ago, but it's a good word. It's a good message. And I want you to hear it and put up, I want you to see this, and I want you to hear this, and I'm going to build a 20-minute message off of this verse. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The rest of that doesn't apply. Better is the end of a thing. And I'm sharing a thought with you. Be a finisher. Be a finisher. At the beginning of my life, I found myself starting more things and not finishing them. I'm very careful what I start now. And I consider the cost, as Jesus said in the Gospels. I consider, can I finish this? What will be the benefit of it? Better is the end of a thing. Better is the completion of something. What you're planning to start. And one of the things we have to be careful of is to pray about it, because people, well-meaning, will try to get us to start things that we have no intentions of finishing. And it won't work. It won't turn out good for us. It just won't. Because you will develop the spirit of abortion. I said abortion. Because you keep starting things and not finishing them, it's like an abortion. And God can forgive anything, including abortion. God loves everybody. And let me tell you something. This morning, while you were waking up, that verse in Lamentations chapter 3 was working, which says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And that's just the truth. That's the God. That's why I'm still hanging around. Because no matter what kind of a jerk I was, no matter how much I sinned, he never left me. And I've said this here many times. God is not so interested in what you did yesterday. He's interested in what you're going to do today so that tomorrow will be better. Let me say that one more time. God is not so interested on what you did yesterday. But he's interested, what are you going to do today while it's today, while you're in the moment, so that tomorrow will be different. There are people in this room, there are things that you should be doing differently. God's waiting patiently. God believes that you can do better. God empowers people and they do better. God empowers people to change. But before that can happen, somebody's got to want it. Somebody's got to envision change in their life. They have to want that change. God doesn't force anybody. And God is saying to every person in this room tonight, I love you and you're special. And I'm not concerned about what you did. Are you ready for a fresh start? Somebody needs to hear that tonight. I'm not going to give an invitation. We're going to all hopefully seek the Lord for communion in just a few minutes. But is there anybody in here ready for a new start on life? Because God will give you one. And he'll give it with kindness. And he'll try to encourage you. The word says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. And finishing is better than starting. And that, just that being said, that right there, you can build a new life on that thought. Finishing what we start. We start things flippantly. Can I tell you something? This word has changed me. I don't start things flippantly. If I start something, bless God, with the help of my Savior and my wife, I'm going to finish it. And you can take that to the bank. And I mean it. Finishing is better. Anybody can start something. One of the first things I learned growing up on the streets of Chicago and the street gangs, don't start something you can't finish. And I learned the rugged side of that and what that meant. And I began to choose my battles more wisely. But consider the cost. And my thought tonight is be a finisher. Be a finisher. And don't start, bless his little heart, don't start anything because somebody else wants you to, or because it seems like a good idea that day. New Year's resolutions, I don't remember the last time, Millie, that we have, you know, I don't remember making one in the last many years, but I've started a few things, but I haven't started as many as I would have. Be a finisher. That's part of what it is necessary to be successful in life. People that have any kind of an addiction, you have got to finish what you started, if you started it. Now, you might have to restart that 10 million times. Start it. Other things, marriages. And August the 10th, 1974, 2 p.m. California time, I started a marriage with my wife, Millie. And there's been times that I've thought about stopping that. But you know, I haven't. And I'm sorry, everybody else, but I got the best wife in the whole wide world. And she's helped me to finish what I started. Now, I have nothing to gain by putting any condemnation on anybody. I don't care if you've been divorced and married 100 times. It doesn't matter. Think about what I said at the beginning. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do with this new relationship? What are you going to do before? I know there's people in this room. They're waiting for God to bring a spouse for them. What are you going to do different? What are you going to do different this time? What are you? Maybe you've never had a problem with that. I'm asking you to get ready to do the right thing because I believe God will do it for you. God will bring that relationship to you. In John chapter 4, verses 30 through 34, the word says, John chapter 4 and verse 34, then they went out of the city and came unto Jesus. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, Eat something. He'd been ministering, and he needed some strength. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. And therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him something to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish what I started. You know what? Everybody in this room, God has a work for you. God has a mission for you. And he's equipped you. And no, he doesn't have a substitute. If you don't do it, it just won't get done. Think of it that way. Not only that, but God has empowered you to do it. Many years ago, we were in Modesto, California, and I felt a strong urge to change. We had just bought a new house. We had it for about 2 years. I said, Millie, I believe God wants us to move to Arkansas. We knew one family here. And I said, what do you think about that? And you know, you don't ask your wife when you just bought our new house a question like that. But I did. And you know what we did? We just came to the conclusion. Millie thought enough of what I was saying that she said, you know, she told me this several times. She told me this when I started Paris Christian Center. I said, what do you think? God wants us to take all of our money. Remember that? And use it to start this work, just to buy a few pieces of equipment. And I said, what do you think of that, hon? And she said, well, she said, I just want to be like one of the kids. She said, I've followed you this far, and you've never missed it. And I just like want to be like one of the kids. We've never missed a meal. And you just do what God's showing you to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Are you that kind of a woman? If you're looking for a husband, can you do that? Or do you just want somebody to argue with and fight with? Or are you the kind of person, and if you're a man, are you the kind of man that can do the best you can with your wife to make her happy? Some of these things are really, really important. So we did it. We started Paris Christian Center with my unemployment check and Millie's paycheck. And I became a gigolo for a few years because we were just starting up. And I never felt like there was anything I could not do that God told me to do. You know, the Lord told me to raise some children that weren't mine because we had enough love and enough resources. And I'm telling you the truth. When we began to do what God told us to do, all of our resources, including our health and our finances, just went, you cannot outgive God. What's God asking you to do? And it's better to finish something than to start something. Think about it. There's no downside to this. There's nothing bad about this. Just think about it. Fellas, if you would, put up Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God calls people. What he's asking you to do is answer the call. That's all. That's what he's asking. And it's not by your might nor by your power, but by the Spirit of God. Whenever you find something that God wants you to do, a direction that God wants you to go, if you purpose in your heart, I'm going that direction, and you hit that right, God will help you. And tell me, if you were God and you're trying to get somebody to do something and they were going the wrong way, would it help them to help them? Or would you confuse them? Some of us tonight may be wondering, what am I supposed to be doing? It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to know that. God wants people to be finishers, to finish what they start. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have started this house, and his hands will also finish this house. And there shalt, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. I am so proud of my daughter Kelly. I didn't know what I was getting into. I've never seen anybody work harder in the ministry. I've never seen anybody do better and make more right choices. I've never seen anybody with more mercy. I've never seen anybody with such a generous heart. And I mean that. And that started with the Lord telling me, I want you to lay hands on her. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of what she does. And together, me and Kelly have decided Dad's going to finish his course. How's that going to happen? I don't know. I just know one day at a time. All I know is I'm going to suit up and show up and try to be there where I can be, drive that truck and trailer, do what I can do to help. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. How am I going to finish? By the Spirit of God. By the empowerment of God and me paying the price to know which direction I should go. Some people think more about what they're going to eat for lunch than the next person they're going to hook up with. That's always a bad thing, man. I have seen some stuff. I don't mean any harm. You may think bad of me, but I love the Maury Show because the Maury Show is full of morons. When you've just had six people tested for paternity, and it ain't none of them's the baby daddy, what in the world? I thought I was a sinner. I've never been a sinner like, my God. My God, my God. I know why you've forsaken them. I mean, really? Well, how can you work with somebody like that? You know what? I don't think I've ever even met a person that's been that confused and messed up. If I have, they've kept it a secret. And I'm glad they kept it a secret. But anyhow, some may be chuckling. Some might say, who the heck does he think he is to preach like that? And say, this is a church. Well, this is not a religious church. I've got a list of the religious churches in my office if that's what you like. We will send you there with bells and whistles. My next place is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the words of the Apostle Paul. At the end of his life, he knew the end was coming. He knew he was going to be martyred for Christ. And this is what he said. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Anybody in this room, if you can do those three things, like the Fonz, hey. Somebody's like, who the heck is a Fonz? Well, that'll be for another message to tell you that. I have finished my course. I've met men that have looked me in the eye and told me, I have finished my course. I've done everything that God has told me to do. And you know, when your time has come to go, will your robe be white as snow? Are you walking in a talking with the Lord? Will he take you by the hand and lead you to that promised land? That's Hank Williams. I've finished my course. Do you know what your course is? Do you know where you are in it and on it? I'm so grateful that you came. because I've had this word and I give it to you in the spirit of expectancy that it's going to help you, that it's going to bless you, that you'll remember parts of it, the parts that will help you. And my last verse tonight is John chapter 19 and verse 30. Jesus spoke 7 different words from the cross. This is one of them. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Do you like this message? Did it mean something to you? You want these notes? We're about to receive something that not every church does. We're about to partake in, if we want to, we don't have to, open communion, which means this here. Everybody is welcome to break bread with us, to take communion. You know why? God didn't bring you to this church for us to judge you. We're not going to judge you. We're just going to try to love you. We're going to do the best we can. What we always do, and I've learned this from the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, right before you take communion, examine yourself. Because if we would judge ourselves, the word says, then God wouldn't have to judge his children. See, God will judge his children now. He won't judge the sinner. There's something far worse than that. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, found in the book of Revelation in the later chapters. If we would judge ourselves, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you. And confession brings about cleansing, to forgive you and to cleanse you. It's magic. It's power. Every year, the 4th of July, including this year, Connor's stepdad, Steve Nicholas, he sends me a note saying, thank you for saving my life. Because I was sitting on his back porch, on his patio. God said, Steve's about to kill himself. Call him up and stop him. And I called him and he just started screaming. He couldn't understand that. He couldn't understand how I knew that. I don't understand how I knew that. Because why? Because it's a miracle. And if you will give God the right, give him a little bit of time, he'll tell you things. How many of you in here would like to help somebody else? Okay. Me too. Examine yourself. And if there's something that shouldn't be there, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, see, privately, he is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. There's a power that comes in honesty with yourself and honesty before God. And it opens up cleansing. And God will make you, he'll set you free from something you didn't think you could be free from. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to invite everybody to take communion because nobody's any better. We're all just God's children. I hope every one of us is. Let's examine our hearts. If there's something that shouldn't be there, confess it to the Lord, nobody else. And let's start the communion ceremony process.